Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is home for Aris Paul. He is an Americana songwriter and guitarist, and my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. He has just released his first full-length album, Drive All Night. Listen in while we have a conversation about his latest CD. Hi, Aris. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Glad we get a chance to speak with you. You are currently in the northern part of the country, Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yep, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yes, sir.
All right, cool. Looking over some of the notes that I had about your music, it looks to me like you kind of inherited this music thing.
My dad was a touring guitar player in the 70s and 80s, so lucky me, all his road gear was kind of littered throughout the house. So I was about 9 or 10 when I started playing around with his guitars.
So you kind of skipped over the blocks and Legos and went straight to guitar strings and picks, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It was cheaper than getting new toys, right?
Right, yeah. So tell me a little bit about that indoctrination into the music and, whatever part of your dad's history feels appropriate. Just give me a little bit of your story.
Sure. Well, my dad and uncle actually had a hand in Pittsburgh's blues scene.
Oh, cool.
Back in the 80s, they founded Excuses Bar, which is a little foreigner bar on the south side of Pittsburgh. And back then in the 80s, Pittsburgh didn't really have much of a music scene outside of the big, touring acts that would come to the the bigger arenas and those type of venues. So what was cool is that a lot of the old blues greats that would be playing, shows at some of the medium-sized clubs, they would get word that they had to come down and check out this little dive bar on the south side, because that's where all the musicians were playing late at night.
Yeah.
And we've had Junior Wells, Philip Walker, a lot of the old blues greats. We even had Bruce Willis come in and play. Yeah, if you can believe that. He came in, he was filming Striking Distance.
Yeah.
The older movie where he's the boat cop, they filmed that in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And sure enough, he came down and played the harmonica with the house band, which is really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, he actually, I think, had a bluesish kind of album maybe in the late 80s or 90s, I think. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure. The only downside is that I didn't really get to experience a lot of that stuff firsthand.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't born until 91, so a lot of the glory days of the bar, musically speaking, I kind of have to hear secondhand.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Huh. And you still kind of yourself got started pretty young, right? I think I read around the age of 16.
Yeah, that was when I got more into songwriting. I started playing guitars when I was 9. You start playing little rock bands you'd make with your friends.
Yeah.
And around 14, 15, I started getting more into songwriting. And I think around 16, I was working on some, I guess you'd more Americana. I kind of always liked to jump around between blues, southern rock, and folk and country. And we sent some of those songs down to one of these publishing houses in Nashville.
Right.
And my dad and I didn't really know what we were doing. We're like, yeah, we think they're good. Let's send them down there and see what they say.
Yeah.
And sure enough, somebody got back to us and said, we'd like to record these songs. And, I got to go down around, 17, which was, pretty impactful on a young
kid.
Oh,
yeah, right. Still high school age, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a lot of fun. The songs, I guess, at the time, they were what you'd expect from a 17-year-old. They weren't really. I was more into the guitar and the maybe cool solos here and there. And I didn't think it was that lyrically, I guess, mature. And it's about 10 years later, we're just releasing the first actual, I guess, what I'd be proud to call the first record.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's definitely been a lot of growing up in there.
Well, it sounds like you certainly had a lot of cool influences along the way, and I was reading where you got a really interesting piece of advice. I'm not sure if you remember what I'm referring to. A fellow by the name of Norman, maybe I see in the notes here, but it says, find out what you want to say and say it as best you can.
Tell me
how that impacted your life.
Well, that was the cool thing about all of these Pittsburgh musicians, is that they were all like family to us. So it was so cool. You know, on a Sunday, I would go hang out with Norm Nardini, who was he was a big deal back in the 70s and 80s, and he still is here in Pittsburgh. He decided to help me write songs because he liked what I was doing. So we'd work on stuff together all afternoon. And I remember he told me that, that always stuck with me. So I'm always revising things and trying to figure out how to say something, you know, as concisely as possible.
I read somewhere where you said you felt like that, your playing was your greatest asset. I watched a couple of YouTube videos, and certainly you seem to have been able to find yourself quite an accomplished guitar player. Is that the songwriting for you? Did that, I'm guessing, came along after the guitar playing for yourself?
Oh, yeah. I actually started with... before we started going to Nashville with, like, you know, the more A-B written structured songs, I spent most of my time working on instrumentals, you know. I'd sit in my room and I'd, you know, slowly acquire more and more, you know, of the do-it-yourself recording gear. I'd save up and buy a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd do, you know, everything from the, you know, the cop shootout type funk songs to, you know, banjo. I loved recording instrumentals.
Right. Right.
And then over time, I started to, you know, I always enjoyed writing, and I guess it took me a while to just put the two together and, you know, write about stuff that I thought was interesting and different perspectives that I thought were cool to talk about.
Is this something that you're working on now full time, or do you have other things that you do?
It is basically full time. I actually do road paving in the summer, which is a lot of fun.
hot, I'm sure.
It's definitely not the easiest job, but I've done it all my life, and what's nice is that it gives me the winter time to focus on music, and at the same time it's hard to make a full time living, you know, when you're just starting out with music. And you know, my band currently, I'd say we work pretty regularly, maybe 3 to 4 times a week. So it's nice to have a job to fall back on, and eventually we're hoping every year we save up, and we're hoping maybe this year with the album we'll be able to finally start touring full time.
So where do you find yourself playing most right now? You said with a band. Do you solo gigs as well?
Oh yeah, I've done a lot of solo gigs. What's cool about, you know, developing your craft by yourself is that you can go out and get those kind of shows. And a lot of my bigger shows have actually been solo acoustic openings.
Okay.
I've opened for Davey Knowles, Eric Summers, Raylan Nelson, Willie Nelson's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of some other ones. Way Down Wanderers. And some of the acoustic shows are actually the most fun, because you really get to, you know, just lose yourself, and at the same time, you know, hopefully if you're doing it right, win over a lot of musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
But the band is kind of the same thing. If you organize the show right, we like to cut loose and have a good time. And I'd say right now we play mostly around the Northeast. We've had shows in Jersey. We've had shows in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
As far south as Nashville, as far north as probably upper New York. So it's the Northeast, but yeah, we're we're hoping to eventually start pushing out into the further into the Midwest and West Coast. And
Cool. You mentioned a couple minutes ago that you felt like you kind of leaned more towards the Americana sound. I was reading where a lot of your influences were kind of all over the map with the blues, funk, soul, country. So where do you feel like, how would you best describe it? You know, when I was listening to it, it kind of had that almost that indie feel at times, some of your songs. Can you pin it down for us a little bit? What for somebody who hasn't heard your music, what are they, you know, what can they expect when they dial into one of your videos or songs?
This is honestly probably one of the hardest things we've had to do. is figuring out how to describe it to people.
Yeah.
We tend to describe it as, you know, one third blues, one third rock, and one third country.
Okay.
We kind of give it the moniker. We call it red-eyed road music. It's kind of all the stuff you want to listen to, you know, when you're driving out in the middle of nowhere. It's guitar intensive. I'd say it always has an element of twang, which gives it that Americana country stuff.
Right, right.
And I think there's some blues there, and there's definitely some rock. So I think is cool about it is that it kind of moves in a way that makes sense. So, you know, where a lot of albums nowadays are kind of fractured and designed to sell, you know, single songs or whatever, a certain hit.
Right,
We're still trying to make that work that flows, you kind of want to listen to. And I think the new album does that well. It kind of starts off very intense with a lot of rock and roll, and eventually sort of settles into to more of a southern rock groove. And then by the end of it, you've pretty much got full bluegrass.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so how does a guy who writes country rock, southern rock, twang end up winning an award for a bluegrass song?
That's a good question. I wasn't expecting that myself, honestly.
and I'm talking about the song Rambler's Creed. Maybe give us a quick background about that and the award. I'm looking through some of the liner notes. So I kind of sprung that on you.
No. That's I think a lot of what makes it hard to pin down is that I think it depends on the arrangement. And what we see is when we do it just acoustically, or when it's just me playing a song, then it's sort of a lot of that music kind of falls into the folk bluegrass side.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you give it electric guitars and organ, then it's southern rock all of a sudden.
Right. Okay.
So,
okay.
That was the song that I've been working on for a couple years, and I had the guitar hooked down, and I just kind of wanted to make one of those road songs with, you know, that crazy guitar riff that keeps going. And that's actually usually my I guess we call that the free bird in our set.
Yeah.
to close with that, because it always gets a good reaction. I think a lot of people tell me that singing-wise, my voice has a twang to it. I think that kind of puts it in the country realm. And then when you do a certain accompaniment, like acoustic and mandolin, that kind of gives you that full bluegrass feel.
So the new album, I guess it's your first maybe official solo project, is Drive All Night. Tell me a little bit about that. That just came out, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We just released that actually about 2 weeks ago. So,
okay. All right.
We're pretty excited about it. I always wanted to make, like I said, I like albums that sort of have a theme, you know, that kind of flow together. And this is something that a lot of musicians, you know about, is being stuck out in the middle of nowhere, you know, between gigs.
Yeah.
You know, you're tired, you're worn out, but you just got to keep going.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much something that I do all the time, including in the summertime when I'm paving. I work as a truck driver for a paving company, so I've pretty much been driving most of my life. So it seemed like a logical first place to start, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sort of, I want to make sort of a little bit of everything that I love in music, a little bit of Southern rock, a little bit of, you know, that folk and country feel and bluegrass. And there's a few funk and rock songs in there. So I think it's definitely that sort of windows down kind of music.
And are all of these originals? Did you, or are any covers or songs that were written for, by somebody else?
No, they're all originals.
Okay.
Actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, we have a few local musicians that feature their voices, or one features harmonica on it. We got to get a lot of our friends in the Pittsburgh community to lend their talents to it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm proud to say that a lot of these songs are ones I've written, ones I've played in Nashville, and some of them are a little bit older.
Okay.
But it was kind of going into the first album that you don't really want to overlook some things, and we've got like the next two or three albums written.
Really? Cool.
At the same time. Yeah, we're trying to reduce the turnaround this time. I mean, it took about 3 or 4 years to do this one. We're hoping to get the next one out by this time next year again.
Okay.
But yeah, it was kind of hard because we had a lot of new songs that we were excited to put on it, but it's more about having the right song.
Right.
And
right.
There are a few older tunes that seemed more fitting to this album. And likewise, there were some newer ones that got cut just because it just didn't seem to work out for this one. So I think a lot of songwriters do that. You know, you sort of have a whole, you know, collective work to choose from and pick and pull from. And you know, that, like I said, the album arranging is really, really something that's important to me.
Now, the recording itself, did you do that with your present band or work with some different musicians? Will the folks that played with you on the record be the same guys that go out and tour with you?
Yes and no, actually. There's a lot of, it's cool. It's sort of a lot of friends lending all their talents, a lot of studio musicians that I work with.
Yeah.
We all work for a studio down in the city of Pittsburgh, Red Cayman, and we work on a lot of people's projects, sort of like a, I guess you could call it like a less, what is it, like the Swampers and Muscle Shoals, except we don't really record any hits. But
yet, right.
sort of like that, I guess
you
could say. But yeah, it's cool because I play with these guys a lot, and some of them do play in the full-time band, and I think that's kind of what's cool about the musician community is that we all play in each other's projects.
Yeah, that is
so,
cool.
So yeah, they definitely helped me out with this one. So yeah.
So it just came out. What does it look like now for you to get out and move this record about and get some exposure and tour? Is there, I know you mentioned earlier you were hoping this would be the one. Do you have things already lined up? Is that in the works yet? Where do you plan on traveling with this record?
We're starting to get some good regional attention. We've gotten regular airplay here in Pittsburgh, and we can definitely fill our calendar with shows here in Pittsburgh. I think what's hard about, you know, contemporary music in any genre, not just Americana and country, is it's a lot harder than people think to get out there and start playing regularly.
Sure. Yeah.
It's really not something that you can do by yourself. You need booking agents, management, all that stuff.
Right.
And that all costs money. So that's why I pave roads in the summertime to, you know, to throw all that money at this project, you know, with the hopes that maybe this year I won't have to go back.
So yeah, I feel you.
That wasn't the case this winter.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, we finished the record, so I'm happy about that. But yeah.
Now you said this was your first solo project. Have you done some other recordings prior to this?
Yeah, I did I'd say another 20 some tracks in Nashville. I worked for a label, Plateau Music. They sort of shop certain songs around. That was back when I was 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
A lot of it was, I guess I'd call it more radio-friendly country.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, we ended up not liking the music. My dad and I went down and we were kind of blown away just to be in the company of Nashville studio players.
Yeah.
It was sort of awe-inspiring. And then later we came back and we were listening to it, and it's so nice to always have a second set of ears, and it's especially cool that it happens to be my dad's. And he was like, well, what do you think of it? And I was always into, you know, the counterculture country bands, you know, Whiskey Town, Drive-By Truckers.
Right,
they're more on the southern rock side.
Yeah.
But I started to get really cynical, and I was like, oh, I don't really like any of it. So
yeah,
I was kind of happy to be there and happy to have my songs being shopped around to some bigger artists. But at the same time, some of the songs were okay, and I might re-record them, but I didn't really, it just didn't feel like me. And that was another quote. I don't think I included that, but I got to meet with Tim Owens, who was Brad Paisley, and I think Sugarland's songwriter, and really nice guy, really incredible musician. And he said, you just got to find, the same way Norm said, you have to figure out what you want to say, Tim Owens said, you have to find out, you know, who you are and what it is that you want to say.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's cool.
I kind of figured out that, you know, the popular side wasn't really me, and if I like rock and roll and all that stuff, I should find a way to, you know, make my own style. So I think that's what a lot of contemporary, you know, good country rock is. You know, you have people like Jason Isbell that use their different perspective to write some really incredible music.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So, again, the new album is Drive All Night. Where can folks reach out, get in touch with you, find a copy of the record, listen to some of your music?
Yeah, it's everywhere. We use CD Baby for everything, which is kind of, it kind of takes some of the stress out of it. It's on Spotify, iTunes, and Pandora.
Okay.
We also threw it up on SoundCloud for free if people want to check it out, because the main thing is just getting people to, you know, take a minute to take a listen, and hopefully if they like it, then start tuning in.
Yeah, and tell us your website.
ArisPaulBand.com. It features all the music, all the stuff that we're working on, shows, that kind of thing.
And it's Aris, A-R-I-S, only one R, right? ArisPaulBand.com. Yeah, awesome. Cool.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks, Aris. Enjoy talking to you, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.